It's time for Ready, Steady, Learn with the University of Auckland on 95 BFM.
Yes, it is time for Ready, Steady, Learn. Today we're joined by Caitlin Woods. Morena.
Morena.
How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Yeah, really good.
Thank you.
Looking forward to talking a little bit about your research. You're a doctoral candidate at the Liggins Institute, and you're looking at the shortage of midwives in New Zealand.
Yeah.
This is a huge topic and super topical at the moment. But tell us a little bit about how you got into this field of research.
Yeah, totally. So I've been a midwife for 5 years now, and studying to be a midwife was extremely challenging. But the shortage of midwives just in general, you know, when I started working as a midwife, it was during COVID and we were so short-staffed that in New Zealand we've got approximately a shortage of about over 1,000 midwives. And even globally, I mean, the International Confederation of Midwives published last year, we're short of 1 million all across the world. So it's not just in Aotearoa, but we were really feeling it on the floor. And I really, struggled. So got into, alongside my clinical, I've gotten into research from there and really want to try and get to the bottom of this, multifaceted problem, because it's, huge. It impacts our maternity care system massively.
Yeah, because I guess there's lots of different angles you could look at it from,
totally,
right, in terms of
yeah.
recruiting people to get into that world, but also retaining it and making sure that people can stay and it's actually a sustainable career option.
Totally, yeah. I mean, yeah, studying to be a midwife, I don't think a lot of people realise, but, you know, it requires 2,400 hours of unpaid clinical placement.
Yep.
And that's twice as much as similar professions such as nursing or physiotherapy.
Wow.
Yeah, and, you know, those unpaid hours, it's shift work, so it's night shifts, day shifts, but it's also you do periods of on-call work. So you're on-call with a community midwife for the births because you've got to get a certain amount of births before you graduate. And it's a lot of expectations and it's a lot of time, and people can't keep up a part-time job at the same time. It's really unrealistic. So financially, I think that's a massive issue within the training. We have about, 39% of students don't complete the degree. That's massive, you know.
That's huge. It's, wow. Oh my gosh. So are there any steps forwards to kind of encourage people to finish that degree?
Yeah, totally. So with my research, so during COVID, a role came up called the Maternity Care Assistant, or MCA for short. And it was a piece of work. It got prompted during COVID due to the exacerbated staffing shortages. But it was really a piece of work that came out of the Midwifery Accord, which was an agreement between the Ministry of Health and the DHBs at the time and our union, so the Midwifery Union Maris, to really focus on how can we address these workforce shortages. And they knew that financial support for students was a major thing. So they developed this role. It got kickstarted during COVID in one hospital, and then since then sort of been introduced in other areas of the country. But it's a role for student midwives where they can gain casual employment, so it's flexible around their studies, and they can work on the wards with non-clinical tasks under supervision but get paid, and also be immersed in the maternity environment. So it's, if students can get a part-time job, it's a lot better being immersed in the work you're going to actually step into in the future.
Yeah, for sure. In terms of, you know, once you're in the workforce, what are some of the biggest challenges there, and how are we going to go about tackling those?
Yeah, I mean, get into the workforce. You know, the Te Whatu Ora have also said we have a short, like, people leaving is about 40%, and we have a lot of people also leaving to Australia because midwives aren't paid enough too. You know, it's a massive issue. But I think in terms of that recruitment and keeping people in a degree, placement poverty is a real thing. So the maternity care assistant role, you know, we uncovered it was more than just financial support. It also helped people transition into practice. But if we go back to that financial support, it's a massive issue. I know in Australia, they've just introduced a stipend for some healthcare students while they're studying. So is that the way we should go? Or is it maybe developing this role a bit further?
You've also talked a little bit in our blurb that we've got about representation
totally,
in midwifery.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about some of the issues there.
Yeah, so, I mean, we have a lack of Māori Pacific and South Asian midwives in Aotearoa, and it doesn't reflect the communities that we serve. So we really need to try and increase the diversity of midwives as well as the number of midwives. And we know, for instance, you know, Māori and Pacific, you know, we know that they face more systemic barriers. So if one of them isn't needing more financial support during studying, is that a way we can support them, you know? And a lot of people, you know, they come into midwifery after having children sometimes. You know, people don't even realise what a midwife does until they have kids themselves. How can you go through a degree and support your family without any income? I think it's just completely unrealistic. So we need to think of ways that we can support people yeah, to stay in the job, stay in the degree first, and then stay in the job, because we enter the workforce short-staffed, and yeah, people just burn out.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. And I guess you can't choose when you have a baby, so the totally. Hours are pretty random. No,
exactly, yeah. Yeah.
So fascinating. I'm interested as to, you know, when you're doing a PhD on this sort of thing, what does that research look like? Is that talking to people about their experiences or doing sort of larger surveys? Or, yeah, what's it sort of look like
for you? Yeah, so my PhD is sort of built up of multiple different studies. So it started with a national survey, basically just to find out what people think of the MCA role and try and evaluate its impact on the transition to practice. So we surveyed student midwives who had done the role and those who hadn't, as well as early career midwives and registered midwives who'd worked with MCAs. And it was really interesting because what we found was it wasn't just that financial support, but the students who were MCAs also had a greater sense of belonging. They transitioned to practice better, their confidence was better. So it's coming into this work, what we've discovered is that it's not necessarily that the MCA role is the answer, but maybe we need to look at the way we train midwives, because why is it those students who were getting paid to help out with non-clinical tasks felt more part of the team than student midwives on placement, you know?
Yeah, and all of that, you know, the well-being of our midwives is so important, but it translates directly to the well-being of our people that are in that care as well.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. Such important mahi and such a topical issue. I know that a lot of people would be feeling a little bit dire about the state of midwifery in this country.
Definitely.
Do you feel dire about it, or do you feel hopeful that it's going
to
be...
I mean, you've got to stay hopeful. Yeah. I definitely think we need to... We've got to, you know, do the work to move in the right direction. But yeah, it's been a problem for a while and it feels like nothing's changing. But hopefully with... Yeah, we've got to do something. Mm-hmm. We can hopefully make it better.
Yeah, well, thank you for your mahi and your research and for coming up for a kōrero this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Best of luck with all of the research moving forward.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn on 95 BFM.